You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The Flyers struggled to find their game against the Boston Bruins, losing the first game in a shootout, and were demolished in the second game, losing 6-1. There weren't a ton of positive takeaways from either showing, other than the fact that it seems like the Flyers are working their kinks out early, or at least we hope they are. Hey everyone, I'm your host with the most joke is Aaron, and I would like to ask the Flyers to give me 3 hours of my life back for that pathetic showing on Saturday night.
I'm Matt Arenek, and I'm glad to say I did not watch Saturday night's game, but I do have a lot to say about it.
I'm Mike Zawisza, and I definitely didn't think I'd be standings watching already, but here we are, six games in,
and definitely not going the way we thought things were going to go, at least not yet. Let's get into game one. That's one we all saw. I thought, honestly, Flyers looked okay through most of that game. Here and there were some kind of spots where they were really struggling. But they had a 2-goal lead going into the third. They end up blowing that and then having to come back and tie the game, go to overtime. Tuukka Rask was huge in overtime. It was a really fun 3-on-3 to watch. They're always great, but that one was really spectacular. And ended up losing in the shootout. Flyers and shootouts, we know how fickle that relationship is. But let's get into game one. Mike, I'll go to you first. What were your kind of thoughts all-encompassing on game one?
Yeah, I mean, it was an ugly start in the first period, but then I thought that second period was one of the best they've put together this season so far. I mean, I thought they played pretty even with the Bruins, at least, you know, watching it. They capitalized on some chances. The power play was actually not that bad. That was one positive from that game overall that I thought for sure. The power play actually went to work. It's one of those games that they still got outplayed overall. And the Bruins were hounding them all night. I think that the two goals that they tied it on in the third period originally, those were just plays where the Bruins were puck hawks, basically. They got in there, they got the pucks, they got the turnovers, and they scored on some quick shots. It's one of those games that if this game was surrounded by like a stretch where, you know, in 8 of the last 10 they had won or they'd been dominant or whatever, and they barely lose this one, you know, they have a valiant effort to get a point at the end after blowing the lead, then you're feeling a lot better about it. I think it's one of those that just kind of got away from you. You lose the point, but oh well, the team's playing so well, they're gonna have those nights. With this one, it's like, yeah, you salvaged a point, which is important early, but like, there wasn't a whole lot to build on, or at least the things that they could have built on. Like, we hung in there, we did blow the lead in the third, but we came back, we got the point. None of that carried over to the next game, so it still seems like the team is, they're just not performing. We'll get into this, but I want to hear what Matt thinks of it.
No, yeah, I mean, like you said, the whole like feel behind the team is so different just because they've yet to put together a full game where you can be like, yeah, like that was enjoyable to watch, right? Like, I feel like it's just a continuation of the playoffs of last year, and that the only difference being that we've really been able to capitalize on a lot of our higher danger opportunities that we've had. Like you said, I mean, I don't want to say we were lucky to be up 2-0, but it wasn't like we dominated and like I felt good. We're up 2-0 going into the third. It just feels like, especially watching them in their own D zone, I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, is just it's so painful. I feel like every time I see Justin Braun and Robert Hague on the ice, they are just neck high sauce, icing, high off the glass. And there's just no way, and I'm not surprised we look like this, because with the regression of Braun, the regression of Hague, and the fact that Erik Gustafsson's as bad as advertised in his own zone, like, he'll have the ability to make some really nice plays and move the puck well, but then the other 50% of the time, it's just an utter nightmare. So when you have over 50% of your own D core that can barely get you out of the zone, I think that trickles down into the rest of your game. And you mentioned it, Mike. I don't think they have confidence right now. I think And I think it all stems from the fact that we are struggling so mightily in the defensive end. I think last year, were we not one of the better teams in shot suppression?
Number one team in shot suppression.
Yeah. And this year we're giving up, I saw a statistic, it was like almost 38 shots a game, something crazy like that, and we can barely put up more than 24. So that's why we mentioned it in the beginning of the season, that on paper this team is deep, right? Especially in the forward group. Now, obviously we're being tested now with the injuries to Couturier, to Frost, to Myers. The defense was the one question mark, and so far that is, it's a big, big question mark moving forward. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, not good, Bob. Or what is it? Not great, Bob. I'll say this. You both of you are more numbers guys, and I think I'm definitely the more eye test guy between the three of us. And I agree, and I think the numbers back all that up. I agree that I think the defense not being able to break the puck out clearly affects the forward's ability to move the puck through the neutral zone and then into the offensive zone. You know, all those things are correlated. I will say this, though. Maybe it's a confidence thing. It reminds me a lot of, do you remember when they fired Laviolette those first, like, five games? Very similar feeling. Like, the team's just, like, no passion, no enthusiasm. And, Mike, I think you brought up a good point, and maybe you're right, where they're like, hey, you know, maybe it's frustration, it's just lack of execution. Like, they're there, they're just, you know, they're not putting all the pieces together yet. And maybe that's true. But, I mean, I'm just seeing such weak play along the boards, in front of the net. We'll get into game two, but, I mean, holy cow. I think back when they were playing the Penguins that second game, I saw Coetzee on the radio said someone might want to go down the bench and tell the Flyers they're in a game. And that's kind of like what it's felt the past couple games. It doesn't seem like they care that they're going to lose. It almost feels like they're putting everything off, and they're like, oh, we'll figure it out, we'll figure it out. You can't do that this season. Maybe you could in a regular 82 games, but this shortened season in this division, you know, what's that old saying? They're like, you know, yesterday you said tomorrow or whatever it is, but this team looks rough. Eric Gustafson, my goodness, I was really excited the first game because he gets his shot through, but I didn't know that him getting his shot through, the trade-off would be that he lets every other shot also through on him. If you told me, I probably wouldn't have made that deal. Robert Hague, oh my God. Very, very bad. Some positives, because I do think, like we said, the first game wasn't all terrible. Hayes played good. Voracek played well. Drew's looked pretty good. And I saw a stat from Alexander Appleyard from The Athletic that it kind of contradicts to the point where I'm like, hey, they're not being physical. They're not showing any passion or aggression. They're like third place among hits in the NHL. But my eyes don't tell me that. I don't know what qualifies as a hit to the NHL, but I'm watching these games and it doesn't seem like
hugs.
Yeah, it could be leading in hugs, but so maybe it leads more credence to Mike's idea. Touch on it a little bit, Mike. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think when they were first struggling against Buffalo, and then you know, that second game against Pittsburgh, and then the first game against Boston, not even that Boston game. My big worry was, like, and I'm sure a lot of fans are worried about this, like, oh no, is this a systems change? From AV, like, did they just overhaul completely after the playoffs last year? And then I, like, because I know we had talked about that, the three of us had talked about that, and I know that's been a talking point on Twitter. And I mean, if you go off of, like, what Bill Meltzer and Charlie O'Connor say, who are way more connected and tapped into the team than I think we are, or the average fan.
Oh, come on, you're lying. No way.
I mean, they straight up, I mean, Charlie O'Connor was in an argument with, I don't know if anybody knows the Andy and Rono guys. They made a thread. Matt, you and I had talked about it, about how the Flyers seem to have adapted their system, et cetera, et cetera. And Charlie O'Connor just straight up said that's not true. He said, from all signs, camp was exactly the same way as it was the year before. The systems in place were all the same. Players were talking about it. Charlie O'Connor's assessment seems to be the team just isn't executing. They look frustrated. They weren't executing to start the year, maybe because they were time off, they were sloppy, not a big enough camp. And now they're not executed because they're frustrated on top of that, because they're not following through on this system that they know how to play. They're just not getting it done. So when I watch a game like that, or when I watch this, the Boston back-to-back, I kind of agree with that, because in the first game, they were getting offense. They were hitting on those high danger plays that they were so often last year. They just couldn't cycle in the zone, and they're getting crushed in their own zone. And then the second game, they actually kind of held the Bruins to a low shot total like they would have last year when they were great at suppressing shots. The problem is they just, again, couldn't get anything done in the zone. And on top of that, Boston cashed in on some, you know, some high danger plays. They got a couple, I wouldn't say fluky goals or whatever, but some of those goals that go in that you're like, damn, something should have been done there. Like, too many breakdowns or whatever. So I really just think they're going to have to play their way out of this. And Joe, I agree. Like, in an 82-game season, you can definitely do that. In 56 games, I mean, they're going to have to play their way out of it in like, the next 5 games or so. Or else, I don't know.
Yeah.
The only good thing is that the division itself is, like, points are being spread all over the place right now. Yeah. So
I just checked on New Jersey.
It's not like anybody's breaking away.
Speaking of the division, I just checked on New Jersey. Last time I looked, they were up 2-0 on the Islanders.
Yeah, they just closed it out. And the Penguins closed out in regulation against the Rangers. So,
Matt, where are you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, the thing that worries me is more, I think this might speak to execution, is maybe it's the change in the way they played in the playoffs, right? I don't know if there's kind of a confusion of how they should be playing from the postseason. They're so used to playing this the same way, and they're kind of confusing the way they played prior to the postseason last year when they looked so good. I just quickly looked at the last game when they played the Bruins. I guess this would have been the game, the first game against the Bruins. I think the one weird thing, and I know this doesn't correlate to, we talked about this, like face-off percentage and how that doesn't necessarily directly correlate to possession, which is, it's crazy to say, but even though Kutz is out, they're 37% on the draw in that first game against the Bruins. Like, that speaks to execution. I don't know. I really don't know what it is. Like, I know for a fact, a lot of it stems from the inability to get out of their own zone, and that trickling down throughout the rest of their play. But it is really confusing to me. I just don't even know.
Well, that's like, sorry, Joe, real quick, like kind of the eye test thing and like how narratives form with fans. Like, so what is the two biggest thing that fans have been talking about are, one, they're not physical enough, which can be kind of argued. Like, I don't know if the team not being physical enough is what's not winning them games. And then two, the other one is that they're playing the same system. And we just talked about how that's called into question. But so for me, it's like, yeah, when the team's not executing the system that they know how to execute, that coordinates, or that results in just sloppy play that looks like they're not giving an effort, that looks like they're, you know, they're playing a different system or whatever, because they just look bad. So I think, to me, like, if that's what it comes down to, just execution, then, you know, I'm still concerned. But I'm like, all right, well, these guys are good enough to figure it out. And I guess I'm choosing to believe that they will figure it out. And if they don't, then new personnel is in order, right?
Yeah,
like
that's
really what it comes down
to.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe.
No. All good. And I think good points by both of you. And that's what I was alluding to, Mike. You were more artfully said it, as usual. But that's what I was alluding to in my little segment. Just kind of wrap up game one so we can get into game two. I will say, so another positive, the third period, they just flat out got punched in the mouth. But I thought they did a good job of battling back and staying. The third period from, like, I would say midway through, they kind of found their game again. They were playing really great. They were creating high danger chances in the offensive zone. They were getting pucks through. They were getting goals on the power play. It looked pretty good as well. That Jake and JVR connection seems to be doing pretty good. And then just in overtime, they could have very well put in an average goalie in there. They win it in overtime. Yep. But Rask made a couple unbelievable saves. And the shootouts are just a mixed bag. You never know what you're going to get. I wish somebody would teach the Flyers how to score on a breakaway. Konechny is pretty good at it, but Jake used to do this thing for years where he still does it. He goes wide. He'll swing very wide, and for years he would go five hole every time, and he'd score a ton of goals. I guess word probably got out. Someone saw tape and was like, "Okay, we can't keep doing this." but not great. But that game, that's the end of game one. Get your last thoughts on game one before we go to game two, because that's where I'm going to really be upset.
Yeah, I think before we get to game two, because there wasn't much positives, I will touch on, I think, my positives so far in the season. JVR, he's gotten off to a pretty decent start, which has been nice to see. Like you mentioned, the Jake JVR and Jake Hayes connection has seems to be clicking in recent games. Hayes has been playing well. Obviously, TK with his five goals is picked up where he left off in the regular season last year. And then Nolan Patrick, he's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, I really like the way he's been moving. The speed is definitely noticeably different from years past with him. And I mean, I think he has, I want to say, close to four. I think he has 4 points so far. So, I mean, obviously small sample size, but if he had 0 points right now, that would be a topic of conversation, right? So it is nice through seven or six, I should say, that he has almost close to a point a game. I think Provy looks as himself. He hasn't been fantastic, but at the same time, it's like, Jesus Christ, he's playing with Justin Braun, who's a shell of himself from last year, and that's just a whole nightmare.
So, I mean, 30 minutes a night, too.
Yeah.
He's playing half the game.
We have 2.5 good defensemen. I mean, again, I didn't get to watch the games. In limited time, I've been on this train, as you guys know, Mark Friedman has looked good. I remember seeing a play before he was just tossed face first into the ice by our friend Brad Marchand. The Rat King. He made a nice step at the blue line. I mean, we talk about it. He's physical for his stature. It's a nice step at the blue line, and then he drew a penalty right after forcing the guy off the puck. And I didn't get to watch Saturday's game, so I can't speak to his game there. But I've always thought that he's looked good in small sample sizes that he's had with the team. And given the fact that we're struggling so much defensively right now, I really do hope to see him stick when Ghost is back in the lineup. So that's kind of my positives before we get into game two here.
I think it's a good point. Good time to transition to game two. And Matt, consider yourself lucky, buddy. You didn't have to watch Saturday because it was brutal. I thought, again, the Flyers seemed to play pretty good through the first. There was, you know, Bruins power play goal. It's Bergeron cleaning up the trash in front. Not much you can do about it. So they was 1-0. And then I would say the wheels kind of fell off middle of the second period, middle to end of the second period. So they were doing okay up to that point. And then the whole house of cards came crashing down. some really tough goals. Everybody on the team was playing poorly. The defense couldn't exit the zone. They were getting hemmed in when they – even simple plays, so they were making it so hard on themselves to just execute the smallest plays. Eric Gustafson, holy cow, had one of the worst turnovers I've ever seen as a defenseman. just let a grown man come into his house and do whatever he wanted. It was bad. And let's just start off the top of this, by the way. Carter Hart, this game was – for the people who are coming for Carter Hart, shut up. Just be quiet.
Just
he's got basically 1.5 defensemen and NHL defensemen, everybody else probably playing at an AHL level right now in front of him. The whole team's playing like ass. Could he have been better? Yeah, probably. But the last thing I'm worried about right now is goaltending for this team. I'm not concerned. We'll say this, the aggression and anger he showed at the end of the third. I know he said it was unprofessional. I loved it. Yeah, I am all here for it. Because at least
love it when a goalie loses it. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it shows he cares because he knows deep down that he could have been better. He knows the whole team has to be better. But let's get into Saturday, Matt. I know you're gonna have some thoughts because you did have time to watch highlights and listen to me and Mike on Saturday night as I was relaying you information. But Mike, I'll go to you first, buddy. What were your Saturday takeaways?
Yeah, I to be honest, I never do this either. I stopped watching though. I honestly didn't.
I wanted to turn it off so bad, but I
didn't
the
watch. Yeah, you just took to the Twitter account. I didn't have to say anything. You're media trained now, so I appreciate it.
I can do it.
No, at 3-1, honestly, just watching the way the game went, they scored to tie it on like a pretty nice play. That's what I'm talking about. Those plays transitioning when they get speed through the neutral zone and they attack, like they're hitting those plays pretty consistently, which is, I do like that, because how often do we complain about Flyers are bad on odd man rushes, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Well, they're cashing in on those this year. So that I did like, but then Bruins immediately followed it up with a goal, and then they get another one to end the period, and it's like 3-1. They kind of had it, something going there, and then, like you said, Joe, the wheels fell off. So I was like, I can't do this. I'm doing other stuff. Ryan's streaming tonight. I'm going to watch Ryan stream, like, whatever. So I do want to – the only thing I really have to say about this game, and it kind of wraps into what I've been saying so far, or, you know, what I've been saying this episode about with my impression of the team, is that oftentimes I think Carter Hart is like a barometer for this team. We used to talk about with Coots and G, like when Coots, or when it was G as the main offensive guy, it was when G is going, the team goes. When Coots is going, the team goes, stuff like that. I think in a way Carter Hart is now that. He's the backbone of the team, but it's also like when Hart's on, it doesn't matter what the Flyers are doing out there, they're going to win. I think to see him, someone who's so level-headed and so even keel, really just, you know, lose let it. His emotions and frustration bubble over last night, or the other night, like, to me, that shows that, yeah, this is frustration. If Carter Hart is breaking his stick in half over the crossbar, then I think they all know, like, what is happening? Like, why can we not do the most simple shit right now? I think, to me, maybe I'm just reading into it completely wrong, but that's kind of the way I see it. Like, they're all just very frustrated, and it's not because they're playing a different system or they can't, you know, do whatever. They know what they're supposed to be doing, and they're just not doing it. Not a single player is doing it.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead, Manny. Because I'm going to go no. for a little bit after you're going. So.
Well, no, I think a good point is that I think it's like a snowball effect, right? Like he pretty much, him and Brian Elliott have been stealing us games to start the season, and it kind of gives you this false like sense of hope that hey, they're going to get together. They're just kind of playing bad so far, right? Like, that's kind of like the narrative that's being pushed. I did see Charlie O'Connor say that it was important in his eyes that they recognize the process they're currently kind of, that they're deploying on the ice, like each game, the way they're playing, like that's not a recipe for success. Because Drew did say going into the third period of that first Bruins game, which I mean, you maybe could argue they played okay, but he said like that he liked the way they played, and then they come out flat and they gave up four goals in the third period, and then they lose in a shootout, right? So The issue I have with that is I feel like every game I watch, I'm like grinding my teeth, like we're just hanging on by the goalie. And Carter Hart's watching Erik Gustafsson like fan on pucks moving at the speed of a turtle between his legs, like almost falling down, and then they score a backdoor goal. And for a goalie, like I'm assuming that's for what it is that he's just watching the D zone. He's watching the plays around him. He's watching Robert Haig rocket ship pucks off the glass when he has all the time in the world, because he refuses to take a look before he gets the puck. Like, it's like you said, Mike, it's the simple things. It's knowing where you're going with the puck before you get it. Like knowing what your second option is. The forwards is simply executing the correct breakout or forecheck, not having two men instead of one man, because that was the topic of conversation for the Andy and Rono, is that did they switch to a 2-1-2 from a 1-2-2? And if they haven't done it, there's probably far too many examples of when they've been too aggressive, I guess, on the forecheck. And then the fact that their defense has been absolutely brutal, that's coming back to bite them in the ass. And the centers have to do a better job of supporting their defense. If I'm AV, I have limited coaching experience, but the teams I did coach, our defense was brutal. And the biggest thing you tell forwards is like you have to take them aside and say, hey, like we understand the weakness of our team currently, whether it's due to injuries or just the composition of the team. Centers have to do a bigger job or a better job of supporting their defense. They might have to break the puck out, right? Like Maybe they take the puck from behind the net and they're distributing amongst the wingers or stretch passing it. Like, and that comes back on the coaches. So the coaches aren't executing obviously either. If we're seeing the same exact game after game where we're just hanging on, hoping the goalies can steal us one and then executing on our high danger opportunities. Otherwise, it's like watching, I don't even know. It's It's painful.
Well,
it is painful.
I think too, Joe, before you take it away, I do want to touch on that, like the Robert Haig thing, because that was that thread they touched on that a lot. Like Robert Haig's game has, he 90% of the time he loves to just go off the glass and out of the zone. We know that. We hate it. I'm not going to defend Robert Haig on this podcast. I don't particularly like his game, but the thing with Haig last year was, yeah, he would do that a ton. It would drive you nuts, whatever. But he was also not afraid to make that outlet pass. And there, that is one thing, like Robert Haig is not a good offensive defenseman or whatever, but he does actually have a decent first pass when he chooses to use it. And I think he did it more last year than he was this year. So when you see him with his head down, just flipping pucks on his backhand out of the zone, to me, that's like, is that just confidence thing? Like they're getting hammered so badly in their own zone that he's just like, fuck it, I got to get this puck out of the zone. And when you're rushing plays like that, when you're not looking at what you're doing and you're just reacting based on like, I don't want the same thing to happen as what happened earlier in the game. I think that's what, to me, that's execution aspect or that lack of confidence aspect.
And Joe, sorry, you're going to go right after this, but I think that's why it's a carryover of the playoffs from last year, because I feel like they struggled so mightily with the forecheck of both the Islanders and Montreal, and that's what they defer to. So like my concern and my only question really is Mike Yeo telling their defensemen, like, we wanted to defer to the flip out of the zone because they're not playing well? And if that's the case, like, and that's literally the only thing I can think of, that or the fact that, like we said, those defensemen are just bad. But Joe, sorry, go ahead, take it away.
No, I was just going to say, I was pulling up the Twitter, the last like tweet. It was 4-1 from the wreck. Good night, Jim Kite. After that, I poured myself like my third Moscow Mule, and I was really just kind of, I was hunkered down for the night after that. But just to kind of touch on a little bit of everything you guys said. One, if there hasn't been a systems change, if it is the same exact system, and it's largely the same players as last year, I don't want to hear a single goddamn excuse. I want to see you come out and give it everything you've got every night. Because it's one thing if, you know, this is a whole roster haul, like a takeover, it's completely changed, overhaul, thank you, that's what I'm looking for, and it's a new coach and this. You had all of last season to learn the system. Then we took a 6-7 month break from hockey. You had all the time to study the system, and all through the playoffs. What, you don't think they were studying the system? We were all in our houses.
No, they were on lockdown during the pandemic. They didn't know if the season was coming back. There's no way that they're just studying tape that entire time.
All right, so take away those 6 months then.
Well, no, I will say that to Joe's point, nothing changed though. I mean, they did change in the playoffs, but the idea of how they were going to play moving into the playoffs largely had not changed until maybe after game one.
Well, that's still though, that they didn't play that way in the playoffs for right or wrong. We touched on that a lot. I think we ultimately decided that was the wrong move to do what they did in the playoffs. But so then they haven't played that style of hockey since February. What was it? March? Yeah, March of 2020 then. That's a long time.
That's a sad excuse though. I agree with Joe. It's professional hockey players.
Yeah, I don't want
that hard.
All of our lives have changed. I mean, I went from working in an office to working completely remote. Never done that before. Did my employer come to me and say, hey, we're going to, the quarterly goal, we're going to go ahead and slash it? No, they raised it, actually. So I don't want to hear that it was a couple months and, you know, you can take the onus on yourself. Like Carter Hart said in the beginning of the year, I don't want to be just a goalie. I want to be the best. If you want to be the best at something, you're going to have to work your ass off at it. So a couple months in the pandemic. Okay, take off a couple weeks. I understand. You had plenty of time. Forget all that, though. Maybe you're right, Mike. They changed their style of play in the playoffs, right? So they have they changed. It clearly didn't work. It worked through a little bit. I mean, Montreal was just an inferior team. I guarantee you this, we play Montreal right now in a 7-game series, we're getting waxed right now.
Yeah,
so,
probably.
So they changed. The Islanders was a hell of a series. I think at the end of it, they were just out of gas because they went to so many overtime games. It's just so hard to win when you're playing that much. All that being said, they get to this season. Okay, now you've had all those the time in the offseason now. It's the same system, same players. What's the result? Not great. And I'm not seeing a lot of, I'm not saying you got to tear the system apart, but if it's coming down to execution, I mean, the coach has to step in. The coach has to do something. I'm not saying trade for the farm or anything like that, but you have to get to your players. You have to get down there and figure it out, because it's inexcusable what the product we're seeing on the ice. I mean, yeah. If it's not the system, then it's the players. And if it's the players, guess what? You've got about, I would say, how many more games you want to give them? Three?
Four? I give them a week.
Okay, so
I would say I give it to the 10 game mark or so. Okay. 10 to 15. That's where I'm putting it.
Do we play four 15 games? 15
is being kind.
15, I mean, because you still have whatever it'd be 31 games at that point. I mean, I don't know. But I guess that's. Like, so what do you think it is, Joe? Do you think they changed system?
No, I don't think
they're not executing. Because
I will say this, I'm not seeing, though, what we saw a lot of, and we saw it in the playoffs too, was they were getting the puck deep on the forecheck, they were laying the body, and then they were cycling the puck. None of that is happening at the same kind of motor, at least, that it was happening even in the playoffs. Like, in the playoffs, they had switched, but they were still doing a lot of that, especially in Montreal. They were doing a great job clogging the neutral zone. I'm not seeing any of that. We can barely break the puck out. We lost Matt Niskanen. I understand. But I mean, you gain Eric Gustafson, who's supposed to be an upgrade in that. Clearly, he has not been thus far. But everybody else is still there. Maybe it's something as simple as literally just Coots is just one of those players that, you know, but behind the scenes, he's holding 60 different... what's it called? What am I talking? You know what I'm talking about? Those puppets. Like what is he, the godfather, that he's just pulling the strings for this entire team? I refuse to believe that's the case. And the veterans are playing well for the most part. Jake looks good. We talked about JVR. He looks good. Hayes looks good. But, I mean, it's so bizarre.
It's like individual players are having good moments and starts to the season, but as units, they're not working well.
No.
And I think that's what's frustrating, I guess. But again, like I'm not going to use the cop. I do agree what you're saying. It's a soft excuse to be like, well, they haven't touched the system since March. I agree. But I do, like, they haven't touched it since March, and then they had a week of camp to figure it out. I'm not shocked that they're struggling. I'm annoyed, and I'm surprised in the sense that I think we were all expecting them to hit the ground running, but I.
Here's my bigger problem.
They're just not executing.
Here's my bigger problem. Okay, execution, fine. Where's the effort? My eyes aren't seeing it. The numbers I know are saying it's there. It's
because they look bad. So, like, a bad play on the ice is always going to result in being like, man, they're not, like, they just don't look.
But, well, they look like they're mailing it in. Do you think part of it, at least in the offensive zone, I mean, we know the defensive zone is a disaster. I know part of what Andy and Ronan brought up, and like we said, you can very easily cherry pick instances that support kind of what you're trying to allude.
What is that, straw man argument, right?
Yeah,
right? Like, is that what it is?
Yeah, but I mean, so.
You're the journalism master's degree. Don't look at me. I went to WVU. I got my degree with a case of moonshine.
Are we seeing, like, because one of the thoughts or one of the videos they showed was Joel Farabee, like, dumping the puck in, right? I think that was a topic of conversation we had in the playoffs, and it was so frustrating, is like, we changed to a more heavy dump and chase style game, and a lot of times there wasn't strategic dumps. It wasn't far side soft to give your time guy to get there. It wasn't a hard rim because you had someone on the weak side actually going to get there first, things of that nature. Because as we see game after game, we're just not getting we're getting some high danger opportunities, maybe off the rush or whatever it might be, but we're not able to sustain pressure. And our biggest thing coming into this year is how deep the team was, offensively speaking. So, like, separate the defensive struggles. Do you see, I mean, again, I haven't been able to watch it enough to really formulate a strong opinion here with the move and everything, but is the offensive struggles, what does that do to? Because we have the talent, we have size, the speed, the skill. It just, that makes no sense to me.
To me, it feels like, I'm just going to err with, I am going to err with Charlie O'Connor again on this. I think it's execution. I think when you can't get out of the zone, by the time you finally get to the puck to the other blue line, and you're the one guy there, and you're waiting for your line mates to come out of the zone too, you're just going to dump it in and maybe chase it, or maybe get to the bench, and then you can't sustain anything. I And that's why when they the lone offense they're getting is breaks through the neutral zone when they're able to go with three guys coming through or whatever.
But the problem I have with that is the fact that our team is just it's a mix of veterans, right? Like, if you have JVR, Jake, Giroux, these guys, they've been playing hockey their entire life. I'm willing to accept that excuse for a rookie who's not as confident with the puck and being able to kind of control entry the puck when he's by himself. But I mean, gee, like that's the way the game's trending. And if that's the case, if the coach is fine with watching film every day and they're saying, okay, yeah, that's what we want to do. We just, you know, maybe better line changes or more speed through the neutral zone. Like, that's not an excuse to me, because if GJ, Hayes, all the veterans, like, we know that the game is moving towards possession of the puck. In that case, then you want to turn back and you want to regroup with your entire team. You don't just dump the puck in.
I don't think that they're happy with what's going on, though. Like, I don't think they're...
I'm not seeing a lot of changes, like, though. That's my big thing.
That's
I'm
what Joe's saying, yeah.
Where are the adjustments?
Do you think they need to change the system?
No.
Because I don't think there's changes. I think it's execution not, on the plays
so,
that
so
are
simplify
supposed
it. So if I, when I have someone come to me, you know, a new salesman comes to me and he's struggling, right? The first thing I sit down and do with them is listen to his pitch. Okay, I want to hear exactly what he's saying verbatim. And then I tinker with it. I don't change the whole pitch because that's what he has. It's the same thing with this, whatever the system is. I'm not saying throw the whole system out, but simplify it. Find out what you're doing good. Find out what you're doing bad. And just make it simpler. And for the love of God, get more pucks on the net. Because guess what?
Maybe that's the answer.
You want things to turn around? Start shooting pucks on the net. Because each goalie we faced... besides Rask, they're just getting no rubber sent their way, okay? They're just standing there for the most part. Rask in game one, I mean, he stole a game for them, but holy cow, we're getting shelled, and then we're doing nothing in return. No shots on net. So simplify the game. Maybe it's shorter passes. Maybe, like you said, Matt, have more forward support when you're breaking the puck out. But I mean, I'm not seeing anything. It's the same game over and over again. 5-6 games in a row where they're not changing anything. That's Einstein's, you know, definitions of insanity of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Like, clearly your team is not as talented as you thought, or your plan is not working as well as you thought. So adapt. And I refuse to believe Alain Vigneault is not a good enough coach to adapt. So get the shit together, because you don't have much time. I give him this New Jersey series. If they lose both of these games to New Jersey, I doubt they make the playoffs. If they lose both games in New Jersey.
After 8 games?
I don't know, man. Because it feels like it's a spiral of just really lackadaisical, we'll figure it out, we can do this, we'll play our way out of it. And you know what? You can't do that in a 56-game season. They need to figure it out quick. And no one's coming to save them. It's up to them. They have all the tools to fix this. It is up to them to fix it.
And it might require playing out of it.
Then simplify it. Go back to basics.
You want a systems change.
What'd you say?
So then you want a systems change.
I mean, just simplify the game.
I'm not saying we need a systems change. I think where I agree with Joe is that when I understand what you're saying, Mike, that you have to play yourself out of it. In a longer season, it's easy to be more comfortable with that. My concern, though, is the example that you gave in terms of like dumping the puck and they're not able to sustain pressure because maybe someone's behind in the neutral zone because they had to support the D to get it out of the zone initially. Something of that nature, right? But the issue I have is they have too many mature players on this team when it comes to that, is that if you see that you're by yourself in a game where it's so much emphasis on control of the puck, I think Kuznetsov and Backstrom are so good at this with the Capitals is – they go to the blue line or the red line, they look around, they don't see anyone, they circle back. That's an easy, not change of system, adjustment that they can be emphasizing on the bench, in the locker room, between periods, between games, and saying, hey, we're struggling with sustained pressure in the offensive zone. Instead of dumping it when you don't have anything with you, it kind of brings it back to the Robert Hague point, take a look.
Yeah,
I feel like you said, it is cutting it down to, it is execution. But at a certain point in a shortened season, like Joe's mentioning, if you are not seeing, like, if AV is just going with, we're going to play ourselves out of it, it's a bold strategy because, like, I'm willing to give it maybe a week or two. Because at that point, if you start falling behind the eight ball, and you're just hoping that Coots is back in 2-3 weeks, and same with Myers, and you're thinking
they didn't look 100%. Fantastic with them.
Yeah.
So they weren't world beaters with both of them. It's kind of like that like a 3-point shooter. It's like, you know, I keep missing. I'm in a slump. I got to just shoot my way out of it. I mean, sometimes that works, but
and that's literally how shooters get out of slumps. I do agree with you guys. Like, I think
a lot of this
is heightened because it's a short season.
Yes.
I totally get that. I totally understand that. And I agree. And I think it is it's like borderline alarming that like we have seen the same game now happen like 5-6 times in a row. I'll say 5 times in a row. I do agree. And it sucks that like we can't say, oh, we need a sample to actually see what's going on. I would have loved more in that Charlie O'Connor and Andy Rono discussion. Maybe Charlie's going to write an article about it. Maybe. That would be good to see what he's saying. I know he's not the end all be all, but I do put a lot of stock in his analysis of the game.
No, we definitely all do.
No. So I think a lot of it is just preempted by it's a short season. And it's one of those things like, okay, do we make those micro adjustments now? Do we start putting them in order, or do we say, let's work through it? I don't know. I think that is something they should legit look into. We like make a move for a good defenseman.
We missed the Ian Colbeau by like literally 6 hours.
Yeah.
The Myers injury, which
is
brutal.
The only thing that is tough with the trade is who's, you know, 6 games into a season, who's trading a top 4 defenseman at this point. So,
I mean, Jesus, we even just need a bottom pair defenseman at this point. Holy.
I will say this. I'm looking for some kind of jolt, some kind of spark, something, because this team it looks so lackadaisical. Everything is just, there's no hustle. It reminds me, if you remember the Flyers when they did the Winter Classic with Lavi. Remember they had all the cameras. There was this one scene. I think they were playing. I don't know who they were playing, but the Flyers just played like a. Probably like a mediocre second period, right? Nothing like we're seeing now. Just a mediocre second period. It's like, whatever. And, you know, Laviolette is tearing into the lineup. He's like, you know why they score right there, Hartsy? Because it's as casual as it fucking gets. He's like, we don't want to block a shot because it hurts. And like, he's like tearing into it with like all the hockey man like talk that you could ever want to hear. But at the same time, that's the kind of vibe I feel right now. It's very casual on the ice. It looks like a casual product. And if I'm Flyers brass, I'm not happy with it. I'm not happy with the way this team competes. And maybe you're right, Mike. And I think you probably are with, you know, hey, it's not that they're not competing hard. It's just that bad plays happen and it makes them look like they're not competing hard. That very well could be it. But you can't really tell millions of people that. You know, so you're going to have to figure it out, and you don't get paid millions of dollars to kind of just, you know, like I said, I don't want to hear any excuse. If the Flyers do not make the playoffs this year, it will be because of their own fault, not because of the pandemic, not because of any injuries, unless barring right now an act of God and half the team gets strict with COVID starting like tonight and no one can play in New Jersey. Fine. I'll take your excuse then. Even then, I'm going to bring up they suck before.
Not you.
I'm talking about.
I agree. If they don't make the playoffs, it is 100% on them, and heads need to roll in the offseason. Big changes need to be made. I'm just saying. To me, that's just how I see it. They're just struggling. They're just struggling to find their footing in this season,
Mike.
And it sucks because we thought that it was. Not going to go this way.
Heard it here first. Mike's giving them a pass because of the pandemic. Yes. Mike is giving them a pass because of the pandemic. We're joking. Yeah. That's gonna be the narrative.
Turning
that's
my fan card. Holy shit.
But no, I just...
I'm gonna call it soft again on Twitter.
I'll say this. One lasting thing that I... Like, it's burned in my brain from game 2 with Boston. They're up 6-1 or 5-1. One of their forwards absolutely lit up Gustafson. Just blew him up. In the D zone, and that's the kind of that's an effort play. That is not a stat or Corsi or whatever number you want to point out. That's someone who says, I'm dominating you, and I'm going to continue to dominate you.
To the end.
And you know
of the game.
What? It's 5-1. I could easily not put my body on the line to make this hit right now. I could just loop around and just go back and chase the puck. But you know what? No. Not only am I dusting you on the scoreboard, I'm going to bury your face in the ground. That's how the Flyers kind of used to play. Not so much recently. I still think they have it in them. Not saying you got to be Brassy Brulies, but show me some kind of passion. Like, I mean, the great Flyers teams I remember, if they're getting shelled 6-1, remember Ray Emery? Do you remember what Hartle would do? And Hartsy was kind of calling for it. I think it was the first game. He's like, good thing I'm not on the ice because I would have taken a shot at someone. And I don't want all of that to happen, but I want...
Thank God those teams won so much, though, too.
They won at the same amount as this team has so far. So, small sample size. We'll see. But I'm not saying I need that back, but show me you care. Because to my eyes, you do not. And to the eyes of all Philadelphia, you do not, even if you do, right? It's a results-oriented business. Show it, bring it. I know you can. I know you have it in you, all of you out there. Like, they listen to this podcast. They don't know we exist.
Jake definitely listens to this podcast.
Hey, man. Jake,
he's tapped in.
Jake is proven he's worth every penny. He looks great. So
yeah, there's no Jake's play so far.
I don't know who's, was it you or Matt that said it? And I think it's probably my favorite point of the night where we're seeing individual great performances, but we're not seeing a team performance. And that honestly comes down to coaching. As a coach, you have to figure that out. You have to figure out how to get the best of your team. That's why they're paying you millions of dollars. So Alain Vigneault, bonne chance, mon ami, good luck, because you're going to need it with only 50 games left to figure this out. We will see. Anything else, boys, before we wrap up? We definitely went over 30 minutes because I am very upset.
Yeah, we...
The episodes where they lose are going to be so long.
Guaranteed. Oh, God.
There's no way around it.
We're just beating the dead horse at this point. I mean...
This is my therapy. I don't pay for therapy. This is it.
I think to keep it simple, as you said, Joe.
KISS, right? That's one acronym we joke about in sales all the time, but it's damn true. If you're struggling...
Judge Judy knew what she was talking about.
KISS.
And to combine it with Mike's point, 60 minutes of consistent effort and kind of just play, whether it's
just ugly,
defensive sound,
sexy,
play,
whatever. Get
that's what I care more about, because as we said, like, and what Charlie O'Connor said is they can't be happy with the process that they're currently putting out on the ice. That product is not a recipe for success. And Tuesday night against the Devils, I think they couldn't have asked for a better opponent to kind of get their feet back underneath them. I mean, they have a good record so far, so it's not like they're playing bad. But in terms of just on paper, missing Nico Hischier, I mean, this is the opportunity, two-game stretch, kind of flip the switch and really turn things around, because I'll give it another week, but, I mean, we're not hitting the panic button yet, but...
We can see it. It's on my desk.
Yeah, I just opened the case.
We shall see. Check back in with us on Thursday, guys. We'll have... What is it? Is it Tuesday is the first game with the Devils?
Yeah,
Tuesday. Tuesday and Thursday.
So we'll have one... Okay, so we'll have one game. We'll see if Mike's right, if they're going to... I mean, right, like you said, right after that New Jersey loss, they really turned it up. They smacked the Capitals, I think it was, right after. So we'll see. This team is... if they're in a boat in the ocean, it has a couple of holes in it. They got to patch them or start paddling faster. Something's got to give. We shall see. Stay safe, everybody. Take care.